Hi everyone, my name is Lorenzo Muzzilli. I'm the co-founder of Muzzilli Consulting and Drone Talks, and we are here in a commercial UAV show in Las Vegas. And with me today is James McLevin, CTO of Blue Flight. Hi James, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure. So James, for those who don't know you, you know, like, who are you and what brought you to drones? What's your background? And then talk a little bit about your company. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, so James McLaren, I'm the CTO and co-founder of Blue Flight. We've been around for about 5 years. So we're a drone OEM that actually dabbles in software quite a bit as well, so not just on the hardware side. Our background is actually automotive. So I spent 12 years in the automotive industry with the companies such as Toyota, 6 years working for Toyota living in Japan. So high volume manufacturing and understand what it takes to make a credible, reliable product is where we come from. About 5 years ago, we thought, hey, drones are going to be cool. It's going to be a thing, right? It'll be easy. We'll make drones and we'll sell them and make lots of money. And 5 years later, we're finally starting to get some traction. People like what we're doing. We have products that are viable, that are going out into the market and testing it. So we've been beating the horse for many, many years, but we're finally getting somewhere where people are liking what we're doing, such as Sprite has purchased some of our drones for integration with their testing. So
amazing. So tell us about what you're doing. Tell us your drone. What it is,
yeah,
how does it look like?
Fundamentally, it has wings or no wings. So it's a quad independent tilt rotor. So the rotors are on the corners. We do that for the agility, right? So putting the propulsors out of the corners gives us great torque ability on the aircraft. For heavy lift urban environments, no wings. You're not going to go as far, but it's still, you get the agility and the performance of the aircraft. But you're not going to go as far as if you have the wing version. But for the lighter loads and you want to go further distance, you give up some of the payload to put the wings on, but you can go two or three times further with that configuration. So we're really pushing the 46 model, which is about a 1.5 meter aircraft. Without the wings is the current one going into the market with Sprite for testing. For them, we're integrating all the electronics that they like as well. So the Halo LTE system, the Wonder Precision Landing System, SATCOM, and all the other things that they wanted. So that's currently where we are, with integrating all of the pieces that some of our main customers want and getting it out in the field for testing.
Amazing. Tell about the company. Where are you based?
Yeah, so we're based in Michigan, actually, so in the northern part of the States. My business partner, Frank, actually lives in Dubai. So we cover the Middle East quite well. We've actually done quite a few projects in the Middle East. So I think that really helped us build as a company. We did a 2-year pilot with NEOM, which is the city they're building in Saudi Arabia. So we were the drone pilot program partner with them in the beginning to how are they going to integrate drones into their future plans. So we were that partner for 2 years, and we finished that up last December. So that was a lot of learning of the desert and what heat can do to aircraft. And, you know, we made a lot of improvements from the aircraft, you know, based on those learning as well.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned before your experience in Toyota, you know, it's just like yesterday we were talking about this, that like Toyota's cars, like, I don't know, something like 10 or 20 years later, they still have 95% are out there, and you know, from the sold ones.
So I have a 2001 Toyota truck and a 2008 Toyota Prius.
Exactly.
That's what I drive.
Huh?
So we bring that to the platform in the hardware. We know what it takes. You have to put in the work, but you want to make a reliable product. You really need to test it. You need to validate it all the way down to the component level. And being from the auto industry, people don't think that's cool or sexy, but it brings a lot of rigor to your understanding of how to make a mechanical system.
Absolutely.
And that's a big thing that we think that we bring to the table as far as our hardware goes.
And I mean, I also appreciate you talking about your like operational experience and how that feedbacks on the design itself. You mentioned like desert and heat.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other environments, right, in which a drone might be asked to operate.
Yeah.
So that's also kind of a challenge.
Environmental conditions. One of the big reasons that we actually went to the configuration with the rotors way out in the corners is for wind capabilities and gust capabilities. You have a lot of authority there. And then the heat, you know, I think everybody underestimates how much heat and electronics don't get along. So from Saudi Arabia, we changed the entire cooling system of all the aircrafts. So when we are in those environments, we can deal with it. And even on the other end, on the cold end, being in Michigan, we fly in the snow. And so when it's below 0 Celsius, the batteries don't like that either. So we are trying to push the envelope on both ends.
Amazing. That's very good. And I mean, let's say if you look at your journey, you said you started 5 years ago, and where are you now in this journey, and where do you think you're going to be like in the next year, 2, 3 years? Just give us a little bit of a perspective.
Yeah, we're nowhere near where we started. We started with a 3-meter N number experimental aircraft that we realized very quickly, being a startup, we couldn't make aircraft that big. The monetary requirement is just unreal, you can't do it. So then we started making smaller aircraft for development and engineering. And then people started showing a lot of interest in that. So we have a 1 meter, 1.5 meter, and a 2 meter aircraft. So in the 2 meter wingspan aircraft, you're pretty much maxing out the 25 kilo, 55 pound small UAS limit. And as a company, we have kind of followed where the customers were over the years, but we want to win and we want to survive. So we're being extremely laser focused on the 1.5 meter to the 46 aircraft that you guys have been supporting us on as well, and finishing that product. People like the product, and taking that to the end. That is our focus right now.
And when do you think that's going to be?
It probably never ends.
Never, right?
Never ends. But as far as like a design freeze, or we're not going to change it, depending on what the certification looks like, end of the year, we want to say that this is the aircraft, and this is what we want to stick with for the near future. I mean, one thing that we do to try to be clever is, if you have many, many different customers and they want different cameras or different radios or different antennas, so how do you accommodate all that, especially from a certification point of view? So what we've done in the aircraft is there's a base airframe. There's a base carbon fuselage, but with the interfaces for the cameras and the radios and the antennas, they're all 3D printed non-structural components. Mm-hmm. So if customer A wants this, it's very easy for us to accommodate. If customer B wants this, we can do that. So we're not spending all this money making tooling for composite parts, where we're really leveraging 3D printing, and it gives us a lot of flexibility.
Amazing, thanks. Thank you very much. So where do you see the industry right now? I mean, are you optimistic? Well, this year has been a little bit hard for everybody, I guess, with the a bit of a VC crunch.
I'm in the middle. I think this industry is going to be a thing, right? It's navigating to where that ends up being in the next 3, 4, 5 years and surviving and being one of those companies. Because for sure, this will be an industry. But as you mentioned, it's been tough this year. It's been very, very tough when you have customers who really like what you're doing and want what you have. But you need capital and you need people and you need that to do that. And if there's no capital market, it's very, very tough. So just an honest answer is we're doing fine, we're doing well, and we're surviving. But it's going to be the people who can navigate the next couple of years, in my opinion.
You got to be the winner. Do you see consolidation happening as well? Do you see changes that are brought?
Well, I think you can notice this show is smaller every year, and even AUSI is smaller every year. So I think the people who are really good and bring a lot of value are the ones who are going to still be around. But I see companies that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Quite often, actually. Absolutely. And our goal is not to be one of those.
Exactly. You definitely don't want to be one of those.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Excellent. Hey, James, thank you very much. It was a nice chat. And thank you for being on the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It was great chatting with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.